Your digital library experience. Podcasts from algoafm.co.za.
Hello, this is an interview I've had with Leslie Ann Foster, head of Masimanyane Women's Rights International. This was after 2 days of testimony by Eastern Cape Judge President Selby Mbenenge during a tribunal into his conduct towards complainant Andiswa Mengo. I started by asking Leslie what important issues came out of Judge Mbenenge's testimony.
I think it's been quite appalling. I think that it's gone against a lot of the values and principles that comes with democracy, that comes with a free South Africa, that is enshrined in our constitution, and also it violates the Judicial Service Commission Act, international conventions, like the Convention on the Discrimination Against Women. There's a lot in his performance and in his, and I'm calling it a performance because it's very theatrical, and in his responses that shows up, highlights the inequality in our society, the way in which he's treating, the way in which he has treated women, in which he's treating this tribunal is reflective of that and deeply, deeply disturbing because of the post that he holds, in the judiciary in the Eastern Cape.
Doc, is there an accepted definition of sexual harassment, misconduct that companies and institutions like this are going by?
Absolutely. There's actually case law on it, in which it's demonstrated, the issue around inequality in the workplace, particularly in the legal profession, is quite explicit, There is documented and persistent culture of sexual harassment and gender-based misconduct, which is festering within the legal profession and from court benches to law firms across the country. So we know that it's there. And precedence has been set by judicial scandals, such as the Nokala Motata scandal and so forth. There has been the Legal Practice Council has actually come up, with what it considers to be sexual misconduct. So I think there are those very serious, issues and precedents which has been set, around this. But it's not just, it's the fact that there is the Convention 190 from the ILO, which stipulates what sexual harassment is. And we are signatories to those conventions, to the Convention on the Elimination of Discrimination Against Women. Now, if you talk in Judge President, you're talking about somebody that should have that information. I think what this case is highlighting for us is the fact that with all the instruments that there may be, and he's arguing that culture, surpasses any of those things. And what it's showing is that the country's struggle for equality is very far from being reached, because of the kinds of things he said and the things that are done. The issue around consent for me is so critical because there's a global movement around when no means no. And he's arguing that in his particular culture, there are different ways of interpreting things that no can actually mean yes. And I think that is very problematic. And from a perspective of what international norms and standards are, this violates that completely.
I mean, there will be and there has been attention to Ms. Mengo's responses, and some saying
yes,
that she was playing along, so she is just as responsible for these conversations continuing for as long as they did. What do we need to know about women in those positions?
Well, I think, it's very clear that the problems around this, because this is an issue of power. An issue of power and control. And you don't see any kind of nod to that. So women will always succumb to the power dynamics within a relationship, And I think that's very problematic because we have to understand that this is what's happened to her, that in that situation, you actually are caught off guard as a woman. And I've been in that situation myself before. You don't know, you know, which, whether it's a joke, whether it's serious, you know, and how you need to respond to that. So I think those are the issues that we need to be very wary of, that she has, as a young woman, would defer to his power and to the issues that, you know, to the way in which he behaves. So for me, I think, you know, that's kind of some of the issues that we need to be considerate of.
A couple of days ago, Doc, I put up on my Facebook a question about what happens to women that say no with no ambiguity, without trying to play along, when they say no to such a powerful man who can influence so much around her, like we have in this case. What happens to those women?
Yeah. So I mean, that we know that. We know the documented cases of how women are ostracized, how they are bullied, how they are go through, you know, moments of torture when they say no. And I just wanted to read this ruling here, which I think is very important. The rule against sexual harassment targets, amongst other things, reprehensible expressions of misplaced authority by superiors towards their subordinates. The fact that the subordinate may be present as ambivalent or even momentarily be flattered by the attention is no excuse, particularly where at some stage in an ongoing situation, she signals her discomfort. If not the additional behavior, then at the very least, the persistence therein is unacceptable. And I mean, we've seen this. We've seen the persistence. We've seen, you know, how even when she said no, when she said I'm busy, when she said that, the persistence was there, you know, constantly. And this is saying that this is unacceptable, and especially for people, for men in power, because it's very disempowering, you know, to be you know, subjected to this kind of persistent harassment.
So whatever the outcome of this case, Doc, what has been learned from this whole process?
Well, I think if we look at it now, there's a clear divide in South Africa about how the case is being viewed. Generally, men are on the side of the judge. They feel that you know, she was asking for it, as they'd like to put it.
I've seen lots of women. I've been so surprised. But, I mean, we've seen this trend.
No, hold on. I want to say this as well, is that women themselves, because they are part of a patriarchal system, also support the judge. And they will. And so this is part of gender-based violence, is when women are shamed and blamed for the abuse of a perpetrator. So this is known globally, you know, that women will. So I, quite honestly, without preempting it, would be surprised if the judge is found guilty, because even the judge that is presiding over this tribunal has not been fair in the way in which he has treated the women in that are representing, well, the woman that's representing her and the complainant herself, in the same way that he has been towards the judge. So again, you have this play of power. You know, he is judge, president, so-and-so. They mention it throughout the tribunal, and she's just Miss Mengo, you know. So, I mean, there are all these different dynamics. So the power dynamics are very important, which is also interesting is, and sometimes when I've commented on this, men have responded to me by saying, it's not your culture. How can you know what this means?
Which was grossly unfair because, you know, men around the world, not just in Africa or in the Xhosa culture.
Yeah.
They seek women in the same persuasive manner.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, in this case, it's been weaponized. Culture has been weaponized.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. It shouldn't be to say, oh, no, you wouldn't know anything about it because you're not closet. This is how we do it. It's not.
Yes. But you know what's also interesting for me is, even in speaking to people, women around the country about this case, many women feel fearful about making some kind of statement, about endorsing a statement, about, you know, having a voice on this. And that's important, because what's happened is, and this case will do the same thing, is that it silences women. So we say break the silence, but women know. Look at in the Amatoso case, one of the witnesses was assassinated.
Yeah.
You know, that's the kind of fear people, women live with. That if you say something, you know, they'll come after you, they'll, you know, whoever, the dark forces, as it were, will come after you and will, you know, harm you, harm your family. I mean, this poor woman has been threatened as well with her life, with the life of her child, you know. So these dark forces that for which life and liberty is nothing. It has no value whatsoever. And we also have to see this in the context of how women are viewed in this country. That's why I mentioned inequality, because women are not actually expected to have voice, to have visibility, to have, you know, agency, you know, anything like that. No, no, no. That's just not acceptable. And so I think also, I mean, an expert like Lisa Vetten, who comes on board and has studied nothing else but women, gender inequality, violence against women, her entire career, you know, and she's dismissed. Yeah. That is inequality. That speaks about gender inequality and speaks about how low women are viewed in our society. And this is why gender-based violence is persistent. It will not change unless we have a sea change, and it's not going to happen in our lifetime.
Leslie Ann Foster from Masumanyane, with a chilling conclusion to our conversation on the testimony by Judge Selby Mbenenge into allegations of sexual harassment.
Your digital library experience. Podcasts from algoafm.co.za.